Christ Church, Branchville, Alabama, presents this podcast of the weekly sermon. If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact deacons at christchurchbranchcove.org. Enjoy the sermon.
Our sermon text this morning is from the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 2. Verses 39 through 52. Luke 2, 39 to 52. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and kinsman redeemer. Speak to us now in your word, O Lord. Grant us understanding. Give us wisdom that we may know you more, love you more, and serve you more in the growth of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. At the outset, boys and girls, a challenge to you, those of you who may need a little help paying attention during the sermon, an assignment is count how many times I say the word glory or the word glorious during the sermon this morning. I'm going to say it a lot, so you're going to have to pay attention. Count how many times I say it, report it to your parents, and see me after the service to see if you have the right number. Starting now. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, earlier we confessed the Nicene Creed as our confession of faith. And in the Nicene Creed, we confess that we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will come again with glory to judge the quick and the dead. So a question for you. Do you believe when the creed says again that that refers to his coming? He will come again. Or do you believe the again refers to his coming with glory? Will he come with glory again? I would commend to you that the second coming of Jesus Christ is another coming in glory. Now, we would have no trouble attributing glory to his second coming or his final coming. But we also believe and confess that the Son of God came in humility in his first advent. Jesus was born in humble circumstances. He was laid in a feeding trough, a humble place for the Son of God. But I want you to hear from Luke 2, earlier in the chapter, verses 8 through 14, describing his birth. Luke 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now just in this brief section, twice we hear the Holy Spirit reveal to us that glory surrounded the coming of the Son of God in the flesh. Now, that really ought not surprise us. When God does something, of course, it is glorious. Last week, we heard the story of Epiphany. Jesus appeared to the Magi, representing Gentile nations. Of course, that was a glorious scene. So, we have a glorious birth. We have a glorious appearing in Epiphany, a glorious manifestation. God does glorious things. Jesus is a baby. Jesus is a small child. And we hear this morning in our sermon text, Jesus continuing in growth and maturation. And we should have no trouble confessing that the growth of Jesus Christ was glorious. The glory of God was with his people as a boy, as nearly a teenager. Now, this in the Gospels is more than a coming-of-age story. This is more than a few neat details of the life of young Jesus. We have this unusual episode in our sermon text, Jesus impressing the teachers at the temple with his knowledge. Now, the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John, don't include any other details of Jesus' youth. And the next chapter in Luke, chapter 3, Jesus is an adult, childhood over. This section, describing his childhood, are bookended with verse 40 and verse 52. I'd like to repeat them for you. Verse 40, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And then verse 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." So Jesus grew. He grew up. And in his growing up, the favor of God, the grace of God, rested upon him. And in his growing up, he grew, he increased with favor with God and man. Now, this is an amazing statement. The Son of God in the flesh grew in favor with God the Father. The Father looked upon the Son, Jesus, and his favor for him increased. How? The Son is eternally begotten of the Father. We rejoice in the incarnation. We recognize the incomprehensible act of an infinite God taking on finite flesh. We take it by faith. How can Jesus the Son increase with favor with the Father. In Hebrews chapter 5, we hear that Jesus, as a son, learned obedience through suffering. Jesus, the Son of God, learning? Do you ever get the sense when you read the Gospels that Jesus had a lot to learn? Learn about life? Learn about interacting with people? I'm sure there are some today, sadly, who would say, I wouldn't talk to people like that, Jesus. That's not a good way to attract people, Jesus. That's ridiculous, right? Yet we hear in God's word that Jesus the Son learned. Jesus the Son grew in favor with God. It seems unbelievable. Now, this is more than like the Trinity, like the Incarnation. We can't fully understand it. We just take it by faith. Something is happening here in the life of Jesus. Something, boys and girls? Glorious. Very good. Something glorious. Now, we know and we confess and we're constantly reminded about God's word that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Son of God came to address that. Jesus came to fix that. He came and he suffered. He died and rose again to address sin, to cancel sin, to free us from sin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ reconciles us with God the Father. We can come joyfully this morning to commune with God in worship. We can call upon him in prayer. What we lost in the fall, in Adam's sin and rebellion, Jesus restores. So let's get back to that sin part. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not the righteousness of God, not the holiness of God. We have fallen short of the glory of God. What does that mean? We say it all the time. What does it mean to fall short of the glory of God? Let's go back to the beginning. If all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, did Adam sin and fall short of the glory of God? Yes, Adam sinned and fell short of God's glory. When God created all things in the beginning, was it glorious? Yes. When Yahweh God took the dust from the ground and breathed life in it to make a man, was that glorious? Yes. When God made a bride for that poor, solitary man, was that glorious? Yes. When God does something, it is glorious. And when he makes something better, like a wife for that poor man, that is glorious. So glory is God making something better. For example, a piece of pie is pretty nice. But if you put a scoop of ice cream or whipped cream on it, is that better? It's glorious. If you're so inclined, you can eat a salad, and that's good. Put some bacon on it. That's glorious. All my examples are food-related. If you have a guy in a nice black suit and a white shirt, what could make him more glorious? Maybe a nice colorful tie. You have a nice sanctuary. Let's put some flowers. Make it more glorious. Make it better. Now, Adam had perfection in the garden. He was made in perfect righteousness. He was made in perfect holiness. He and his wife were in the garden. But they were not yet in the land. They were not yet ruling over the world. Not enjoying yet the mature blessings of ruling and eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And though they had perfection, God reveals in his word that it was perfect in that first creation week. Day one was perfect. Then God made it better, day two. And then God made it better, day three. God made it better, day four, day five, and day six he made it better. You know what the best day of that week was? Seventh day. That was more glorious than the first six. He makes all things new. He makes things glorious. He glorifies creation. He glorifies people. And in creation, Adam and Eve were to grow up. They were to live by faith. They were to learn obedience by trusting God. And in over time, God would bring them and all humanity from glory to glory. They would grow from garden priests and servants to kings and queens ruling over creation to the high privilege of being heavenly prophets in God's heavenly council. God would bring all mankind from glory to glory. These were privileges that awaited all mankind, apart from sin, living by faith, obeying God the Creator. Tragically, Adam sinned, and what? He fell short of the glory of God, and the fall cost all humanity those blessings and privileges and glory. God desired worshipers made in his image, filling his glorious creation, making that creation better. His image bearers ruling over creation, communing with him in his glorious presence, enjoying perfect union and communion with God. God with his people and his people with God. And sin ruined that. Sin broke that. Sin cost all of us that. Adam's sin and our sin. So that's it. That's the end of the story. We never got to enjoy that glorious privilege and never will. Right? Boys and girls? Is that right? Does it end there? What's the answer to our dilemma of sin? Who fixes all that missed out glory? Boys and girls? Jesus. Very good. Jesus, God's Son. Now we read in Hebrews chapter 2 that the Son of God came to bring many sons to what? Righteousness? He came to bring many sons to righteousness? He came to bring many sons to holiness? No. The Son came to bring many sons to glory. The Son of God came to bring many sons to glory. Jesus, the Son of God, corrected what Adam wrecked. He fixed what our sin cost us. Jesus came in glory. He lived the perfect human life. He lived a life of glory to glory, perfectly obeying the Father, perfectly loving his neighbor. God's favor rested on him, and as he lived, representing the new humanity, God's favor upon him grew. He did what Adam was supposed to do. Adam was supposed to resist the temptations of the devil. Adam was supposed to protect his bride. Adam was supposed to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Because Adam sinned. And because all sinned, all fell short of the glory of God. So Jesus, the true Son of God, did it in our place. He lived that life. He brought humanity through faithfulness to God, through death and resurrection. So we'd be freed from sin and enslavement, the penalty of the fall. He ascended to God's glorious presence. Adam's loss of heavenly glory, Jesus has restored. There's a famous passage in Romans 8. Many of you probably have it memorized. Romans 8:29, those whom God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brothers, many brethren. That's you and me. He's conforming us to that perfect, mature image of Jesus. The obedience Jesus learned through suffering, we're learning that too. We're learning it by faith. But the passage continues. Those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, someday in the future, he will glorify in the heavenly places. Right? No. Those whom he justified, he glorified. You are glorified in Jesus Christ. Everything is yours in Christ Jesus. Death, resurrection, heavenly access, heavenly thrones, all yours in Jesus. And because we are in union with him, we are glorified. Because God glorified his Son in his birth, he glorified him in his childhood, he glorified him in his adulthood, his obedience, his suffering, glory, glory, glory. You ever read through John's gospel? When is the Son most glorified? Glorify me, Father. Now is the time for your Son to be glorified. At the cross, he was glorified. God brings humanity from glory to glory. Jesus, God's Son, walked the path of glory. He lived the life of glory. God the Father was glorified in his Son. And following our Lord, we are to glorify God. We are to submit to God's word. We are to live by every word that proceeds from his mouth. And we walk that path of glory. Jesus went from baby to small child to boy to adult. And this was more than just a physical maturation. Each stage of his life was going from glory to glory to glory. So if every stage of his life was that way, what is every stage of your life by faith? Growing in maturity. Jesus grew in holiness. Jesus the baby didn't teach the shepherds about the kingdom. Jesus the small child didn't impress the magi with his knowledge. Jesus the boy, the 12-year-old, impressed the teachers at the temple. And he grew in wisdom and stature. God's favor rested upon him. And Jesus lived by faith. And we can imagine young man Jesus impressing everyone. Joseph's son, he's pretty wise. He's pretty mature. He's pretty faithful. Jesus grew in favor with God. Is that possible with us? Is God more pleased with us when we obey than when we disobey? Does he look at his children with more love and favor when the church is faithfully obeying and worshiping him rightly than when we're worldly and lukewarm? Is he more pleased with us? Yes. So live like that. Obey God, and his favor on you will grow. Now, this is a case for us as individuals. Each Christian is to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ, learn to obey all that Jesus has commanded you in his word, every word that proceeds from his mouth. Submit to God by faith. Follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust God through your lives to live from glory unto glory. But this is more than purely individualistic. This is more than just a self-growth message. Glory to glory isn't just for individuals. It's for God's covenant people. May he bring his church from glory to glory. May his favor rest upon us as we grow in wisdom and stature. May this church, may the one church, grow in favor with men and God. Shouldn't the church increase in holiness and witness faithfully to the world? Shouldn't God look upon his people, see our love abound more and more internally and externally outside the church walls? Shouldn't he be more pleased with us when it happens? I mean, he gave us his Spirit to produce fruit. Are you producing more fruit this year than you were last year? Than 5 years ago? Than 10 years ago? Shouldn't we produce more fruit? Glory to glory describes the kingdom and the world. God shows us in his world that he makes things better, as in the first 7 days of creation, his glorifying creation. He does this through space and time. After all, isn't the kingdom supposed to grow like a mustard seed? Yes, the knowledge of the Lord is spreading. Remember, we left off last Lord's Day in Epiphany. The Magi left Jesus and they returned home. They had bowed down to the King of the Jews and they worshiped Jesus as King. And then they went back to their people. And everyone in their land immediately converted, and now that nation is 100% a Christian nation, right? God was glorified in their worship, in their homage to Jesus. They went back home. They probably told others. But that nation and all nations still need to be discipled to obey all that Jesus has commanded. In the Magi's bowing down and worshiping Jesus, they brought glory home. But God is still working on that nation, glory to glory. And that light to the nations is glorious. The light to this nation is glorious. It is glorious to you and to your families. God's glory is in this church, in the church throughout the world. God bringing all things from glory to glory. So we need to be people for glory. Grow in the Lord. Learn his word. Grow up. Endure. And learn obedience through suffering like Jesus. Produce the fruit of the Spirit. Love God, love neighbor. Serve, walk in faithfulness. Follow your Lord by the power of the Spirit. And trust God. Because Jesus, the God-man, the perfect man, is on the throne making all things new. So even if the world looks awful right now, God is bringing it from, boys and girls, from glory to glory. From what it is now to something more glorious. So we may not know it fully or understand it, but we trust God that he will keep his promises. He will bring something better, something more glorious. And if you look at your bulletin, your memory verse at the top of the page, 2 Corinthians 3:18. I didn't even plan this. I don't know if Keith did this. Your memory verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, as just by the Spirit of the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, pray, trust in God, and grow in Christ Jesus, your Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God and merciful Father in heaven, glorify your name in all the earth. Glorify yourself in your people. We rejoice that though we have sinned and fallen short of your glory, your Son came to bring us to glory. We praise you that we are glorified in him. Strengthen us by your Spirit to trust in your plan and to trust in your working in this world, bringing all things from glory to glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact Deacons at Christ Church Branch Cove.org.